Valentine's Day, day that we talk about love, a day that restaurants go crazy, a day that is wrought with emotion, because either it's a really positive day and you're happy about it, or you're really not happy about it, or you're really lonely, or you're thinking about someone, or you're confused. It's just, it's a day heavy, a heavy day with emotion.
My husband, Kevin, passed away October 31st, 2017. November 4th, we had a memorial for him, celebration of life. He was a huge Harley Davidson, Raiders, Dodgers fan. He also worked for the government. He served in the military. So at his celebration of life, I had it at a hall that you walk in and one side of the hall had all of his memorabilia. From you had the military table, which had awards that he had received. Then you went to, like, let's say the Dodgers table, and it had his Dodger poncho, a signed ball from Tommy Lasorda, pitchers. Then you go from there to the Raiders table.
I applaud this woman. I really think that this is a great way to celebrate someone's life. Looking back, celebrating all the things that this individual loved and sharing them with the people that he loved.
We also had a beer truck that had his favorite, which was Sierra Nevada on tap, and a couple other beers. We had Dodger dogs. We also had a karaoke. I mean, it was a huge party. It wasn't like a sad moment. It was more of everyone was just in awe on how much there was displayed, and it was just, like I said, a huge party.
So often we think of funerals and we think of sadness. I think of sitting in a Lutheran church basement and eating really bad salads that were thrown together last minute. And oh shit, we ran out of mayo, so we're going to substitute maybe a little sour cream and cottage cheese instead, and then mix it all into Jell-O or something like that. Believe me, it happens, but it's usually not necessarily a big old party. I like the idea of a big old party. I love it. I think that's a really good way to celebrate some life. It's, I think, a cathartic thing, especially when you're going through the mourning process, having some positivity in there where you can really latch onto the positive and to the memories that were so good with that individual. Hopefully they were good. I think that can be a very therapeutic thing as you're going through the mourning process. Even more therapeutic if the deceased can be part of it, like literally show up.
That night, went to bed, and my sister and my daughter were also sleeping in the bed with me. Woke up to, I swear, he was leaning over me, and I could, kissing me, and I could feel his mustache, his lips, everything, to the point that when I woke up, I had my lips puckered, and I was like, oh, I'm kissing his robe. And I guess I made it sound to, that I had, woke up my sister and my daughter, and they're like, is you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I swear Kevin was right here. He was leaning over and he was giving me a kiss, and it felt so real. And my sister said that she feels that it might have been him thanking me for celebration of life and everything that I did for him.
I could not agree more. I think he came back. I think he was probably going to come back no matter what, at least to say a little goodbye. But I think after a day like that, if you were living and someone threw you a party like that, you would be so grateful and wanting just to give a giant hug and tell that person you love them. And it served two purposes there. Helping to get through such a tough time. Helping to show that they're on the other side and okay. And showing that that love did not end with death. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode 334. Is that what we're on? 334? I believe so. We're going to be talking about lost loves. Now, lost loves can be obviously a lot of different things. It can be romantic love. It can be a familial love. And I'm not talking a combination of the two where it's a family member who's not your significant other, but you somehow make it. I'm not talking that. Don't go there. It's not about incest. This is an episode about people that we've loved that have passed on and caring about them and still feeling their presence to this day. From Real Ghost Stories Online, I am Tony Bruschi. Thank you for listening. Sit back, relax. Ghost stories are on the way. Stay with us. Lost loves are not always a lover in a romantic sense. A lost love can sometimes be someone who is potentially still alive, just somewhere out there that we don't know about. But a lost love can be anyone that you care deeply about. If you're a parent, you surely understand how deep a connection it is to have with your child and what a love that is and that individual is. To you, one of the worst feelings any parent could ever have would be the feeling of losing a child. In our next story, we're going to hear about that, a family that actually had many children, 7 children. And because of a horrible disease, many of them passed very early in life, in the dawn of their lives. This story is from one of the siblings who did make it. Back in their house, childhood home, filled with many memories, positive and sad. And a sense, or I should say more than a sense, evidence, audible evidence, that many of the siblings who passed so young in life are still there and still very much at the age they were when they passed. Take a listen. I grew up in an old Victorian house in Minnesota. I was the youngest of 6 surviving children in a Catholic family. Both of my parents carried the recessive gene for cystic fibrosis, and they lost 4 children to the disease. 2 were older than me, dying as small children at around the age of 7, and 2 were younger than me, dying as infants. Growing up, we always heard unexplainable sounds on our 3rd floor when no one was up there. To me, it sounded like small children playing around. The noises were never loud, harsh, or scary. Simply sounded like kids running across the floors. We all were used to the sounds, and it never really bothered us. I always assumed it was my 2 brothers who had died, and they were simply playing. The 3rd floor never had any oppressive mood. Quite the opposite, it was always a comfortable, welcoming space. My parents had a 2nd home in Florida, so when I was 25, they suggested I move back home, and I could watch the house during the 8 months they spent in Florida. Shortly after I moved home, my sister moved to Minnesota, and she moved in with her 2 children while she searched for a new home and planned a wedding. It worked out great. There's plenty of room. It was nice to have company. We had many evenings where we would make dinner and put a movie on to watch after the kids went to bed. One night, my sister, her fiancé, and I were watching a movie when we all heard the noise of children running around on the 3rd floor. We all heard it at the same time. My future brother-in-law volunteered to get the kids back in bed as we assumed that they had gotten up and were screwing around. My sister and I poured some wine and just chatted when her fiancé came downstairs and told us both kids were sound asleep. We thought it was weird, but we had heard those sounds before, so we were not alarmed or scared. It was the first time her fiancé had heard them, though, and he was a little freaked out. Another time, I was home from work for lunch, and I brought a coworker with me. We were eating lunch in our breakfast room, and the sounds of children running happened again. She froze in fear. She asked me if I had heard the sounds, and I explained that it was probably my siblings that had passed on. That did not make her feel better. I assured her that the spirits were not scary, and that they were friendly. We returned to work, and she never came back. Eventually, my sister closed on her new home, and she moved out along with her children and her fiancé. Shortly after moving into the new house, they both woke up to hear her children running around in their rooms. Her fiancé got up to check on them, and he came back to their bedroom to tell her that the kids were sound asleep. We assumed that her brothers had simply moved with them to the new house, because I never heard them after that. One more strange thing happened recently, and is unrelated to the other story. I was with my husband on vacation this past fall. I was sleeping and had a very vivid dream. I was someplace, not at home, but not where I was vacationing either. I saw my father, who died in 2008. He's looking great. It was him, and he was much younger. I was so excited to see him, and I mentioned how great he looked. He was in a big hurry, and his kind of ignoring way, he ignored my compliment and didn't look happy to see me. But not unhappy either, just kind of distracted. It was noisy, and he told me that we had to hurry, and he needed to talk to me. It was about something very important. I realized that I was dreaming, and I was terrified as to what he was going to tell me. I worried it was about something bad that he wanted me to know about my children, my husband, or even myself. He rushed me outside, but it wasn't outside. It was just to some place where the noise stopped. When we stopped, he turned to me and just told me that he was very happy and very settled. He also told me that it was really important for me to know how proud he was of me, that I was doing a great job, and he quickly left. When I woke up, the dream came back to me in a very clear way. Usually I forget dreams or struggle to recall them. They seem to drift away from me as I try to keep them, especially the good ones. But this one stayed, and I could recall it quite clearly. I was stumped because I had not been thinking about him. I had no concerns as to him being happy, as I had not done anything that should make him especially proud either. My biggest question about the dream was wondering, what the heck was he proud of? I do believe that he visited me, and it was a message to my siblings and myself that he is in a good place, and that he's proud of all of us. Up EPP bonus episode number 234 of Real Ghost Stories Online. To hear the rest of the episode, sign up to become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com. We'll talk about some more stories and share them, including what causes a crucifix to fly across a room to break into two. That's a very fascinating story. Also, the ghost that haunts a bed and breakfast lets itself be known, and also does the dark spirit that haunts the pool area of this bed and breakfast. Also, a house party filled with young adults takes a turn for the worst as the dead return to terrify everyone in the night. Hear all of these stories and more in the rest of this EPP bonus episode when you sign up to be an extra podcast person, an EPP. Through our website at ghostpodcast.com. You can also do it through Patreon. The link is there at ghostpodcast.com. $5 a month. It keeps us on the air. That's what supports our show more than anything else and allows us to do this thing for you for free 3 days a week. And then, of course, our extra episode every single Thursday. Please support the show. Keep us on the air. We love doing it. Without your support, it could not go on. Check it out. ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Real Ghost Stories Online, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening.